Thank you all very much for being here this morning to worship together in God's house. And the Lord has certainly a message for all of us today. Let's pray. Lord, my prayer is that you would pour out upon each of us your unceasing wisdom, knowledge, guidance, and understanding, and discernment, that you would help us to put on the fullness of the mind of Christ in order to see and hear and obey all that you have to teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you may realize that you have a PowerPoint for our sermon today. You also have an insert. So what I'd like you to do is go ahead and look in your insert there and pull that out, because it has some spaces that if you're taking notes, that you can go ahead and write in as we go through what God has for you today. And one of the reasons why I think it was good to do this with a handout and PowerPoint is so that you could put this up on your refrigerator this week. You know, so many times we listen, and then when we walk away, it's like seeing in a mirror dimly, and then we don't remember what we look like. But I think the Lord has a message for you all week long. And so take a look at your notes from the Lord's message to you this morning. Also, on the other side of that handout, we don't waste paper. That is basically the I Will Promise for Wednesday night's study that starts this Wednesday. We'd love to have you here for the dinner at 6 o'clock and the study starting at 6:30. And we're going to go through October and November and before Thanksgiving. But I want you to see right up front what you're committing to. One of the reasons why the Lord brought Sherry and I and Nicholas and our family here is to join with you in fulfilling those I wills, not only in your life and in my life. I need you, too, and in this church and in this community. So I wanted you to see, before the study started, what we're committing to, but realistically, what we already should be committing to as believers in Christ. We're just going to reaffirm them and strengthen those in one another's life. Okay? So I hope that you will come out, and I hope that I run out of books because we have so many people coming on Wednesday night. When you open your Bibles, please, for me, to the Gospel of Matthew. And it is found in the New Testament, right at the beginning. And this part of Scripture was written between 80 and 100 A.D. Matthew, along with the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke, are known as the Synoptic Gospels because they share many similar chronological stories and sayings of Jesus. This gospel can be divided into six narratives and five discourses, or what they call consecutive speeches, with the most famous being the first major discourse by Jesus in chapter 5 through 7, which many of you already know is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the sermon for today is found in there. The title of the sermon today is, What Do You Value Most in Life? Now, I know this may sound familiar to you, because as I had the joy of preaching this sermon when I was interviewed by the pastor search committee, I felt like the Lord wanted me to come back to it. And as Paul says, sometimes things are so important, it's worth mentioning a couple of times more. So I want you to hear it as the first time, because the Lord has something for you before you leave the church today. The title of the sermon is, What Do You Value Most in Life? And the message comes from the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew 6, 19 to 24. And I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I can be able to do this correctly, if I'm pointing this correctly. Am I doing this okay? Help me out here, Ken. There we go. Okay. Great. Follow along either in the word that's in your in your pew, or that's on the screen. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth or rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now, throughout his speech, Jesus called everyone who would listen to place their sole dependency for the sustainment and true prosperity of life on God and God alone and nothing else. Whatever we possess in our hands, whatever we behold with our eyes, whoever we serve in our minds will determine whether our existence will have any eternal meaning. For example, when Jesus talked about treasures in our passage for today, I would submit to you that it involves much more than the accumulation of money, property, and wealth. It worked. Have you ever watched the TV show Hoarders? In fact, statistics show that between 5 million and 14 million people in the United States are compulsive hoarders. At least twice the number of people diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder. Personally, I have never seen anyone who passed on from this life take a single worldly possession with them. Jesus has a word for us today, and it's about treasures. And I'm hoping that when we leave here today, you'll have a better idea of what the true meaning of treasures are in Jesus' sense of the word treasures. Treasures in heaven, Jesus is referring to, is the good works we do that are in line with God's will. I cannot thank Sandy enough. I think it was Sandy. Didn't you mention to me about the fact that having an idea as to what treasures meant, that it was the work of your hands? I see so many people in this church doing God's will and God's good work. It is amazing to me. Sandy painting and every single person that was out there for Clean Up the Church Day, I could not tell you. Gloria and serving when the Cooper's funeral. It's the work of your hands is the treasures that God is talking about here that's in line with His will. As we walk through this passage, we need to identify and be honest with ourselves about what we value most, because it is those values that drive how we prioritize and invest our gifts, talents, time, and treasures, and wealth during our lifetime that are in line with the will of God and which have eternal value. I have to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, one of my stress levels I have each day is whether or not I'm putting enough in eternal valued things. I really get concerned that I am not doing enough. Now, there's a balance there because it's not our doing. Remember we talked about in James that it's our faith that saves us, and it's the work of our hands that is an outward expression of our ongoing worship. But sometimes I really do feel, Lord, am I doing enough things? Am I praying for enough people? Am I spending my gifts, talents, time, and treasures that you've given to me to manage for a season? And then it's over. Am I doing enough that have eternal value? Or am I just doing it to fill time or to please myself? And I'm constantly asking the Lord to give me peace, put on the fullness of the mind of Christ, trust that my value system is nothing like Christ's value system, and I do the best that I can with where I am at the point. I don't worry about what happened yesterday. I don't get all worked up over what's going to happen tomorrow, but I allow Christ to be the fullness in me today. And I believe that that's what God wants us to be. Otherwise, they will simply go to waste for all eternity. Now you see there in your handout, you see that there is a part there that is fill in the blank. If you happen to have a pen or a pencil, you could fill it in, but I hope that you write it in there. The value of our gifts, talents, time, and wealth can be prioritized to store up treasures in heaven. We see in verses 19 to 21, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I am going to tell you, and every time I see Sarah or Dr. DeVinny, I am telling you, their presence in my life has such eternal value for me in my life. Did you know that your ministry of presence has eternal value? And I'm going to just share with you what this church has been doing for me personally in my life. That just seeing Robert coming and Ken faithfully coming up there and Susan, you know, they built a cabinet in my office that there is no spanking way you would have to admit me to a sanitarium if I tried to do that myself. And they were in there, and after the first hour and a half, I said, maybe we should take a break. And we took a break, came back the next day. They were there bright and early, and they finished it. It was not building the cabinet. It was the ministry that they took their skills and ministered to me in my life. And one of the things that I have to say, shame on me, I'm not very good at being ministered to. I am more hardwired to help other people, but I get very, very anxious if somebody tries to minister to me. And how selfish that is on my part to withhold them and getting a blessing to allow them to minister to me. So I confess that to you. A sin in my life that I have to work on in my life is to allow people to minister to me. And I pray that you will realize that it doesn't matter how small it is of an act of deed that you do with your gifts, talents, time, and treasures. It's the intent behind it. If you do that in Jesus' name, I'm going to tell you that has more value than anything that you could do for this earth that's passing away. So what treasures is Jesus referring to here, as well as in Luke 12:34, which can be stored in heaven while we are here on earth? And again, it is the work of your hand. Thank you, Susan and Ken, for doing that cabinet for me and all the wonderful things. I think Jane made me some cookies this morning. I haven't gotten to it. My wife Sherry and Nicholas got to them before I did, but I want you to know they tell me it was really good. To try to add some clarity here, look at verse 21 for me. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When I first read this, I was having a hard time trying to understand and plug it into my mind in 21st century thinking. And so what I did is that I substituted the words values are in place of the word treasure is. and the word priorities in the place of heart. And it read like this: for where your values are, there your priorities will be also. I immediately went to my phone, which has my daily calendar on it, and it allowed me to reflect on, let me look at the last 6 months on my calendar, and that's going to be a very good word picture of what I value most. And what has been taking up my attention and my commitment. God has given you treasures to manage for His purpose. You have those spiritual gifts. You have your natural talents. So you have your limited period of time, and you have your personal wealth. Are you using them effectively to store up your treasures in heaven? Now, one of the things that we are going to be doing over the course of this next year is that on Sunday nights, we are going to talk about spiritual disciplines and spiritual gifts. Because I truly believe that we need to be proclaiming the gospel. That's what First Baptist Church of Piedmont needs to be about its business doing as our number one priority. The next one is leading people to Christ and helping them nurture them to become true disciples of Christ. And then as we're doing that, we're helping them understand what their spiritual gift is. Did you know that the moment you ask Christ in your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you're given at least one spiritual gift? And you need to know what that spiritual gift is because you need to be using it in the body of Christ. I am actually suffering in the body of Christ if you are not exercising your spiritual gift in helping to minister to the body. So we need to recognize what your spiritual gifts, and some people have more than one spiritual gift. And we need to allow those spiritual gifts to be exercised freely in the church, in the building up of the body of Christ. That's how we stay healthy. That's how we grow. And then we're going to be working on our spiritual disciplines. Things like prayer, fasting, studying of God's Word, submission, service, simplicity. Things like confession, corporate confession. Worship, celebration. This is how we are going to grow as disciples. And then finally, I will tell you, in my 46 years of knowing the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior, I have never seen a more serving of one another body than I have here at First Baptist Church of Piedmont. My wife would agree with me. This church is a church of people who serve others. And I want to see that grow and reach out into the community. So, when we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Holy Spirit gives us, every believer, that one spiritual, at least one spiritual gift. Things like, now listen, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, tongues, interpreting tongues, administration, and helps. I'll tell you, Debbie is a perfect example of one I think probably has the gift of administration. Really good organizer, amazing organizer. We all need each other exercising our spiritual gift. Don't hide it under the bed or in the closet. And then we have our natural talents. Jeff did an amazing job of doing a plaque for me of what I mentioned what I would have on my headstone, and now it's hung up in my office. I'm not sure what that truly means, but it's there, and I sit below it. That's getting pretty spooky. But, you know, pray before you think before you do, and when in doubt, don't. Well, he probably loses all sorts of time when he's out there woodworking. That is a natural skill. That is a skill that he has. George, with photography and some of the other, many other things, I'm learning more and more things about George and all the things that he goes and gets lost in. But those are natural talents that the church body needs. And then time. You know, we only have a certain period of time here on earth. We need to be mindful and not wasteful of each second. in this life. And then wealth. Wealth. Many of us accumulate a lot of stuff. I'm going to tell you, we are still going through boxes, moving down from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, down here to First Baptist Church of Piedmont, and I am getting sick and tired of boxes. But I'm going to tell you, I cannot wait until we study simplicity. So my wife and I both really understand what it truly means to live a simple and simplistic life of stuff. And all the Spider-Man and Superman stuff that Nicholas has and Toy Story, we got to kind of work. So anybody's interested in some Toy Story figurines, just come see me, but don't let Nick hear because those are his favorite. But we accumulate all these things, and when we really don't realize it until we have to pack it up and move it. Or when we go on to be with the Lord and our family members have to pack it up and say, my goodness, what is all this stuff? If you're not a good steward of the things that God has placed in your care to put to the work and manage for His good purpose, then you know what you are? You are simply a hoarder, destined for ruin here on earth. And then, in fact, you're a minimalist in heaven. Jesus said to the rich man in Matthew 19:21, if you wish to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. The interesting thing that number two on the value of uncovenant eyes can be prioritized to store up treasures in heaven. I want to tell a real quick story, if I could. I was taking, you know, when we had this really, really bad rain recently? My son Justice, who, as you know, is a deputy sheriff in Greenville County, he was off duty that day, and we were in downtown Greenville, and there were a lot of really, really nice Mercedes and very high-end vehicles that were down there trying to do some shopping because some of the shops finally opened. And one of the Mercedes there had an elderly woman who I guess had a couple of guys helping her, but it was raining so hard when they got out of the sedan, they had all these packages in their hands. And they couldn't help the lady get from the car into one of the stores. Well, Justice and I were walking by, and we heard her yelling at these guys to help her because it was flooded. The road was flooded, and she didn't want to step out into the water. And my son Justice, who was walking ahead of me, he kind of walked past her, and she is screaming and yelling. And I ran up to her, and I put her on my back, and I picked her up and carried her over to the front of the store, got her out of the rain. And when I dropped her down, she pushed me aside and started yelling at the guys again and went into the store. And so Justice and I just kept walking, and we had done a little bit of shopping of what we wanted to do. And then 2 hours later, JR looks at me and he says, Dad, come on, I gotta know. You know, you picked her up, you put her on your back, and she didn't even say thank you to you. What's up with that? And I looked at JR and I said, son, you know, I set that woman down a couple of hours ago. Why are you still carrying her? And we do the same thing with things of this world. We need to realize that we don't have to carry the load. We just have to be about the Lord's work. We carry a lot of dead weight. I'm very, very concerned, especially what I see on television and the news. We carry a lot of worry. We carry a lot of anger. We carry a lot of frustration. We carry a lot of resentment. I want to share with you, it's not in my notes, but I'm going to share with you here, seven things that Jesus says in the verses after this of why not to worry. The first one is the same God who created life in you can be trusted with every detail of your life. The second reason not to worry is worrying about the future hampers your efforts today. Verse 27, worrying is more harmful than helpful. Verse 28 through 30, God does not ignore those who depend on Him. Number 5, worry shows a lack of faith and understanding of who God is. 6, there are real challenges God wants us to pursue, and worrying keeps us from them. And number 7, living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed with worry. Now, part number 2, the value of our uncovetous eyes, the eyes of the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So the eye is basically a metaphor relating to how a person perceives earthly wealth. If you're generous and willing to let go of possessions God for God's good pleasure, then the rest of that person will be healthy. And the light of God's love and affection will be shown in and through them. But if it's evil, and it will only lead that person further away from God, infected and consumed with darkness. If we have a generous eye, it will eliminate the fullness of God's light in every area of our lives. I'm going to tell you right now, stop and think for a moment. There is probably someone, if I asked you to think for a moment, who comes to your mind that you see illuminates the love and affection of Jesus? I know each one of us have that person in mind. As Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Think about that person and how they live their life. And it's okay as they imitate Christ that you see and learn from that person. That's called discipleship. That's a great mentor. May each of us, Lord willing, have at least one really good, solid mentor in our life that illuminates the love and affection of Christ. The value of our serving one master can be prioritized to store up treasures in heaven. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is an either-or statement. There is no in-between. You are either knowingly pledging undivided loyalty to God, or you serve anything else by default. From an internal perspective, I would like to reflect on three things that last forever. And Dr. Deviney has, when I've heard him speak, he reflects this. He says, God lasts forever, God's Word lasts forever, and people last forever. That man of God has been preaching for over 70 years. I hope I could be around another 70 years to hear him preach. Everything else will fade away. A means by which you can demonstrate love, loyalty, and service to God as a single-minded a disciple of Christ is by knowing your purpose and your plan for life. I'm going to end here in just a couple of minutes, but I want to tell you what the purpose is of life, and you can fill this in your handout. The purpose of life is that no one should perish. No one should perish. That is why we need to be about proclaiming the gospel. That is why the number one responsibility, if you look at our vision statement, it is that no one should perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to seeking to save the lost, and we should be doing the same. He called us as the disciples to leave everything in this world behind and follow Him. Are you listening to the Master today? A loyal disciple must have an uncompromised commitment to God's will and purpose. So, you know what the purpose is. Well, what's the plan? Well, the plan is this. Investing God's Word in people. The plan is investing God's Word in people. If you and I are investing God's Word, Susan teaching Sunday school class, George teaching Sunday school class, Debbie and setting up the things for the children and Gloria with the children, all those things that are going on with regards to helping teach them, you're investing God's Word in people. God's loving Word, Jesus, invested Himself to save us from not walking in darkness in this world. Do you value people's souls and consider their needs high enough priority to allow God to make you fisher of men and women and children and do good deeds unto others in His name? If God is not the sole, listen to this, if God is not the sole master of your mind, then your eyes will only behold what it alone wants to see in order to selfishly pursue those things which the world has determined to be the most valuable. At the end of your life, there will only be ruin and destruction with nothing else to show for yourself in heaven. Jesus is calling you to make a knowing decision. Who will be your one and only master today? Closely examine how well you are managing your gifts, talents, time, and treasures entrusted to you. You are going to be held accountable as to what you do with your gifts, talents, time, and treasures when you get to before the Master. The day is coming where there's going to be an accounting. The ledger will be opened. How did you invest your spiritual gifts and your natural talents, your limited time, and how did you capitalize on your treasures stored up? Did you put it in a bank account at a bank or in a shoebox in the closet? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The ledger will not lie about the entire lifespan of your personal and business affairs. Will you be found loyal and faithful to God or anything else? So here's the lesson for you to learn right now. As a believer in Christ, you must wisely examine with all your heart what treasures have true eternal value and take the necessary steps today to faithfully manage your daily priorities to be consistent with what God treasures most in His relationship with you. The Lord is asking you today what to do. What do you value most in life? If you are not seeking first the kingdom of God with all entrusted to you, then you are not seeking Him at all. How will you respond to Him now? If you have never given your heart to Christ, don't wait another moment. We give you an opportunity to come forward and receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior, as your treasure today. Or maybe you realize your values and your priorities are not the same as God's, and you want to reinvest in eternal things. You can come forward as well and turn your treasures over to the Lord today. Don't delay. Never forget what God values most is you. In the very heart of God, you are always His top priority. You come forward.